but you could come closer.
Who?
The one with the small face.
The one with
good afternoon. Here we are again having fun on a Friday, live from the farm, living with the spirit, Sarah, Mark, and Simba.
Fun this Friday on the farm?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, really fun Friday.
Friday fun at the farm.
You guys didn't like what I did. I thought it was very funny, though.
Yeah. For you who's watching, Simba tried to be funny before the show, and it wasn't funny.
I laughed.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I might end the show with that.
Yeah. All right. Today we are mastering inner peace. From reactivity to balance. So when we choose these topics, it's usually a topic that has been like going around town a little bit. So because, you know, everyone who knows us knows that we are constantly also working on ourselves, like our own health, our own vitality, our own personal power, our own, like everything we share and everything we discuss with you guys are things that we work on ourselves. So now it's a hot topic with reactivity, and then all of a sudden almost every person that we work with is also like in this area and topic and working, and we share like information and you know, materials with our clients that we think is really good. And reactivity is the topic of the week, one might say. Simba, how are you working with reactivity on a personal level?
Briefing is a big part, right? There is usually, you can induce a pause from when you feel something that you're about to react to something, right? Becoming aware of it and taking a few deep breaths is a big part of it. But also you just notice what happens in the mind when it goes in, like, did she really say that? Why did she say that? What's her? You know, if you're lucky, you have the inner peace, you get to that point. Chances are, if we are very stressed and overwhelmed, that we already snapped back at someone. And I know that from personal experience. So
are you talking about me?
I'm talking about life. I'm talking about life before this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And also how, yeah, really, you know, just give it a pause. I would say that's the main thing that I'm noticing, to really pause, brief, and bring it into the body, right? Not trying to justify it, I'm right, this person is wrong, this person is whatever, whatnot. Not just going around talking, like not verbalizing it outwards, but not verbalizing inwards either, right? So it's almost like you take the mind and you compress it, but you're not suppressing it, right? So we're not denying ourselves of it. We're not spiritually bypassing, I'm just gonna be this positive person. I just compress the mind, and then I kind of push it into my body, and then I can work with a lot of different somatic tools to let the body release whatever comes up instead of sending it to another person. And now we have a very aggressive tennis game, because I shoot something to you, you're going to shoot it back to me. And that's not really nice, right? I don't feel good. You don't feel good. So I would say that's why how I work with emotional reactivity on a personal level.
Hmm. What would you say, Mark?
Well, I like to look at the etymology of words a lot. And if we look at the word reactivity, the pre-word of that is to re, which means to do something again. And so to react means that you're taking the initial action and you're giving it again. And then that is what some of us mentioned, like this loop that starts to happen, this tennis match. So a reaction is an immediate response that you kind of bounce the ball back onto the other court. And so for me, when I think about a reaction, breathing is one way to help me do that. But what I look for instead of a reaction is a response. So we can move from reaction to response. And I think a good analogy is like when you receive an email, all right, the email is maybe a complaining email, somebody sent you an email where they don't like your service, or they didn't like what you did, and so they want a refund, for example. Reaction is like, what the hell is this guy's problem? You know, blah, blah, blah. But a response is, thank you for your email. We have kindly noted, you know. So what happens between the reaction and the response is that you take time. Time to breathe, time to think something through, time to come up with an appropriate response, time to check your own emotions, check your own insecurities, which is often where the reaction comes from. And it's our ego that gets bruised somewhere. And so that flares up our reactive response. And so we, you know, want to send the ball back in the other court. So different types of ways to stop before you react, I think, can help a lot of people.
Yeah. So I have a yes or no question.
Okay.
Is the reaction a natural response? Okay, it's not a yes or no question. Is the reaction a natural response, or is it a response of like unprocessed emotions, trauma, ego, things like that? When that response is, what would you say?
Well, I would say if you wanted a yes or no answer, the answer is yes. And yeah. I take it back to science. When we look at a reaction, there's like a thermal reaction or a physical reaction. It's when you mix two substances together, and then scientifically, you know, energies are exchanged and a reaction happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes those reactions are subtle. So maybe like mixing water in a bar of soap, it just makes bubbles. Okay. But sometimes we mix iron oxide and water, or you know, some combustible thing, and we get fire and explosions. So the type of materials that are involved in the reaction is what we're really looking at, right? The reaction is normal.
The reaction is normal. But is it though, Simba?
I would say no. You know, it's a natural response. If you look at it, what happens in the body, but just let's just bring it back to evolution. If we look at that, right? If I'm going around and thinking, overthinking, reacting, and I'm walking around in a jungle, I'm going to step on a snake. I'm going to get bitten. I'm going to fall down a cliff and break my leg, and wild animals going to eat me. We are not naturally designed to walk around with that excessive amount of thoughts that we have and the stress that we have in today's society. So when I talk to people, I usually say, it's not normal, but it's common. It's very common. The stress cycles that we have are supposed to be there for a short period of time, but some people live their whole lives in these cycles. And that's why I would say, I don't think it's natural. I mean, it's part of our biology. So I don't like to say it's unnatural, because some people feel shame and blame and judgment because of that. Yes, it's a natural occurrence in the system if it's stressed to that point, but it's not natural to be this stress. It's just common, unfortunately, today's society. So that's kind of how I would look at the question, you know. It's common, but it's not normal, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, what we are looking at is, so we always use the analogy of the nervous system. So in this case, if you are very reactive, where would you be in the nervous system?
Well, definitely in the sympathetic nervous system, or we use a graph where we call it the red zone, because it's kind of like
fight or flight.
Yeah, it's kind of like a stoplight, a fight or flight response, yeah. Because your body's feeling lack of safety, and it's like Mark is saying, it's probably feeling lack of safety because it remembers a situation as similar, and it's trying to do something, right? Like it's a survival mechanism, right? It's trying to survive. And that's the same with traumas and stress and all these things that we have. If we don't get them out of a system, they are reacting, they're re-engaging over and over again. And that's just your nervous system try to release this energy out of your body, out of your mind. But we're so conditioned mentally to say it's self-sabotage, self-criticism, mm-hmm. procrastination, I'm lazy, I'm blah, blah, blah. All this nonsense that we tell ourselves that doesn't really help us or anyone else. So we kind of program to talk to ourselves like that in our head and to other people. Whereas It's actually your nervous system inviting you in to have another opportunity. That's the reaction. So I can do something differently with this energy. I can actually start to release this energy. And that's what I usually say, you can react or you can choose to act, right? Mm-hmm. So that would also be a way of playing with words and deciding what you want to do when you feel triggered or explosive or whatever word you choose to use.
So if we have the aspect of, I mean, very few people, I assume, want to be in a relationship where you just, you know, react the energy that comes from this tennis match. I mean, I think most people can agree that that's not very, it doesn't feel very good. It's not like, for me personally, it's not how I want to spend my time. It's not like, it's not a relationship that I want to be in. It's not, for me personally, it just takes away time, energy, and effort from whatever else I'm supposed to do, like the good things that I can create for myself or others. But that's one aspect. What does it do to the body to be involved in these reactions all the time, would you say, Simba? What happens in the body? Is it good or bad for the body to be in these situations?
Extremely bad. For long periods of time. Short periods of time, yes, that's why it's there. It's there to protect you mentally, emotionally, physically. But long periods of time, it starts to break you down. It costs a lot of energy to sustain this high level of vigilance, reactivity. And what your body will do, it will start to leech, take energy from anywhere it can. So it can be from your muscles, your bones, your tendons, tissues.
Organs.
And it also leaves a lot of cortisol and other hormones that really breaks the body down. So I used to work as a personal trainer. And you might wonder, why does a personal trainer work with stress? Well, because if your body's stressed and not feeling safe, forget about losing weight. You know, your body's not going to feel safe enough to let go of fat, which is stored energy that allows us to feel good. It's going to store that down and we're not going to lose weight. And a lot of people go to the gym and push themselves harder and take pre-workouts and all these things. So that's just a way you can look at stress and how it actually affects your body from body ideal. But it goes deeper than just losing weight. It goes into insomnia, anxiety, stress, and even into stress-related diseases, which can really harm you or eventually kill you.
Yeah, so the nervous system is, if the nervous system is constantly activated, then none of the self-healing mechanisms are turned on or, you know, lowered. So, and I mean, for myself, I would say that I can feel the toll it's taken on my organs. It's like I can feel the energy in my body, which with this, because we laugh about it a little bit and say that it's a tennis match, but what it really is that we are projecting negativity towards each other, and it's not nice. It's hurtful. And it, ever since I started doing this work more deeply, I started to realize the like how much it affects the body and how harming it is to be in this constant, you know, reaction mode, to receive negativity from the other, but also to take that in, have a personal reaction myself, create something new, and then throw that back, and kind of wanting to win or be right or whatever it is. And this, it's, I mean, it is a nervous system response that has a physical harm to the body, but it's also an emotional thing and a spiritual thing, that it's like it affects us on so many levels. And if we want to, you know, go deeper into our self-healing practice, or, you know, we want to create something better for ourselves, live in our purpose, move towards freedom, then this is a fantastic way to use this practice for your own inner work and inner development, because it's so harmful to, I mean, even let's say you're arguing with someone that you don't like, And then you go like, oh, I don't care about that person. I don't care if I hurt that person. But you hurt yourself first and foremost. And that's, you know, once you really can feel the energy and how that impacts the body, then for me, it becomes a very, very strong motivator to not do that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I used to work in nightclubs many years ago in another lifetime.
Yeah,
and me too. let's say an ordinary person has a couple of arguments a week, right? We could have 20, 30 a night when you were working with this. Yeah. So I had to do too much of it. I have to go into a scenario where I did way too much of it to realize what we was doing with my body. And I thought I was calm and I could handle situations. And then a couple of years later, I learned, wow, that was just a advanced stage of dorsal vagal. I just closed down. It was a shutdown in my nervous system to handle the situation. But it took me several years after to realize how I thought I was calm, where I was just disconnected because it was so overwhelming with all this inputs and responses and lots of people wanting something, calling your name and doing things. So I had to do too much of it to realize that even not going to that length is still harmful and stressful for you.
Mm. Yeah, Mark, any thoughts?
Well, this whole time I'm like having contradictory thoughts in my mind about this topic in general. And it's okay for us to have differing opinions for sure. Because I'm always kind of thinking logically and scientifically and stuff, like there's this law of energy. It says like for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So I think that like the term like negative reaction or, you know, an overreaction might be more appropriate for what we're actually talking about today, because any reaction is what you choose to do after the initial action. So if you choose to negatively react and send daggers into that other person's spirit, or you can choose to breathe, or you can choose to a variety of other things, but there's always a choice in that reaction. So I like what you mentioned, Sarah, about how you know, we were kind of lightheartedly just talking about it's a tennis match, and that makes it seem like it's fun and enjoyable. But I specifically remember Lujan talking about how it almost feels like someone is sending daggers into your heart. And these thought forms that emerge from our mind are felt by our energetic bodies or by our, you know, our spiritual bodies. We can feel those things and they actually hurt. So it's not, you know, they say that words don't hurt, but words are very
powerful. They do. I mean, that's what I meant, like that you can actually feel how it feels. I mean, in my past, when I wasn't connected, I still felt it, but I didn't connect that to like that there was an actual physical reaction and a physical harm. But now I can feel it so strongly and my whole body goes like, no, we don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't feel good. And it's like, it's showing me how the strength of the organs are going down. And like, it's my whole body is like, I don't want to be in that situation anymore. And, but I really like what you say that the reactivity is a choice. So that's why, I mean, the reactivity is, for me, I would say reactivity is not a good thing. I would say that it's harmful. Of course, there's an action. I mean, every action has a. I mean, the law of balance. But
right.
If for me, it's about what do I do with that energy? Do I make it bigger and send it back and try to hurt the other person, or do I want to be right? Or can I use this as a spiritual or emotional practice to send that energy elsewhere? And to stop the madness, can I be responsible for that? Can I make that choice to stop it? Or not only for me, but for the both of us? Can I can I walk away? Can I say that we need to talk about this at another time? Or, you know, yeah. what are your suggestions to navigate? Because I think that many people can, they recognize themselves in the situations, but they feel like, okay, it's easier said than done. And right. of course we say breathing and, like grounding and things like that. And some people are like, yeah, but
maybe well, I actually like, I have a good example that it came up this week in our sword fighting class. Mm. So like if you're sword fighting someone and you end up in this position where both swords are pushing up against each other, it's like, you're not going to go forward and you can't go backwards. So we're kind of like at the standstill. And so your perception might be that the only way to get through this situation is to just push harder and push forward, but you could just go take a step back, you know, yeah. and that's not what people normally think of. So you kind of have to have an awareness of the situation first. And when you look around and you see that, like, hey, there's definitely a massive obstacle in front of me with a giant sword facing at me, and I don't necessarily have to go through, I don't have to win, I don't have to push through, I don't have to be clever or sneaky, I just have to take a step back.
Retreat
and, you know, reposition, you know, from that moment, I can take a deep breath. From that moment, I might see something that I didn't see before, because now I have a better perspective. Before, I was really close to the problem. Now I'm further away from the problem. And I see that the problem, you know, has other attachments to it. It has traumas to it. It has history to it. So I don't have to go forward into that anymore. Stepping away allows the other person to also put their sword down.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Simba has some somatic practices or things that we can actually help us in the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of like what you both said. When I look at it, sure, we can say negative. I would say it's not sustainable.
It's not
sustainable for your body. There is balance with, you know, cause and effect and that dynamic. But that dynamic, when it comes to reactivity and emotions, I like to go to like Taoism and traditional Chinese medicine, and my background is in martial arts. It's really an internal battle, but somehow it had become socialized and we start to project it onto other people. But that's really what people say, you know, in spiritual literatures and in mindfulness, fight your own demons. That's really the struggle, right? The struggle is really an internal challenge or process that you work through so that you can be in peace and be compassionate, harmful, and kind to others. But when you have so much inside of you that you cannot deal with it on your own, it becomes like a scream for help, and that just comes out. And it starts to attack someone else because it's weaponized. As soon as someone even comes close to the topic, I am no longer in the position to realize this is an emotion, this is an ideal, this is an idea. Someone just mentions something that crosses my path, and everything I have unresolved in me becomes weaponized. And now you are an enemy, and now I can do anything, right? And that's kind of what I'm seeing a lot of times that happens in society. And I'm not saying right or wrong here. I'm just saying that might be on a point where it's not balanced, where it is way over on this side, right? So to bring balance, you have to look at, where am I at, right? Am I super passive, not doing anything? Okay, maybe you need a little bit more reactivity in your life. Maybe you need a little bit more fire, you know, yin and yang. Am I reacting and talking fast and breathing fast and hot? And okay, maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you need to step back a little bit. So it's really about finding the balance within you so that you can be different in interactions with other people. And you can do anything to go to that point, but I really think it's important to realize, what is it that I'm actually doing? Because people come and say, oh, what do I do when I'm stressed? Oh, I'm fighting my partner. What do I do? It's like, well, I can give you any tool in the world, but if you don't know what's going on, then half of the solution is gone, right? Because awareness is 50% of the solution to any problem. And if you don't even know what's going on, it's kind of like, you know, it's going to be a guessing game. We don't really know what we're doing because we don't know what we are working towards or away from. So I think that is the first thing to really figure out, what is it that's going on? What is it that's incapable of feeling loved, safe enough to be processed in here, self-regulated, to the point where it becomes weaponized and start to attack other people? And that's really the trauma, right? That's the nature of trauma and working through trauma. If we don't work through it, if we don't help others, that trauma wind up, you know, mugging us in the street or something like that, right? So it will come back to you. That's the law of balance if we're looking at it that way, right? We cannot just say, oh, it's yours. It's everyone's. So that's also why I'm really passionate about this work, because not that I don't want to get mugged, but, you know, that to help other people, right? To
collective, really, collective healing.
Collective healing, because, you know, someone cries, you're going to feel it. If a baby cries somewhere, you're going to feel it. If someone's screaming in pain, you feel it. We're connected, right? So I think this is a very important thing to look at as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and we're not talking about reactivity where you actually have to step in and defend yourself, or, you know, it's like, it's not that that we're talking about. We're talking about these endless, you know, reactivity loops, the tennis games that we have. Sometimes we have more with certain people, or sometimes you can experience someone as soon as you say something to them, they are super defensive and they can't, you know, receive whatever you say. And that's also that, you know, that's part of the, it's like just a different aspect of the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. So how would you say that if someone is in a relationship with someone and find themselves in this loop, if someone here is watching and they feel like, I'm in this situation all the time, I'm trying to be conscious, but the person that I'm with is not conscious, and this seems like a hellhole that I'm in because it feels like it's never ending. I try to breathe, I try, but, you know, it's this loop. What would you say, Simba, what would you recommend that person to do?
Well, I get this question so often, so I'm starting to wonder if there's something I need to work through myself. No, jokes aside, I think it's very common, because you want to do something to feel good, for you to feel good, your partner to feel good. And I think it's a matter of miscommunication. You know, what I've seen when I coach people, and also, you know, honestly myself, my own path was, it was a lack of love, right? I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be reciprocated and cherished and appreciated. It used to be validation for me, but now it's more of appreciation and affection. And I think a lot of it kind of comes down to that. You know, you want to be seen for what you do, and you actually make an effort to change yourself. But it feels like your partner is doing the same thing all over. I'm doing all this nice work, and I'm meditating, and I'm shutting up when I want to do this, and I'm eating cucumber, but I want to eat, you know, whatever, kind of binge eat food and do other things. But I'm, you know, working with discipline and passion to feeling better, have a purpose in my life, right? And maybe I feel my partner is not doing the same, and maybe I'm feeling that, like, they're even trying to sabotage this process for me, right? But once again, you have to go back to the awareness. One, do you really know what it is that you want? Can you clearly say it in two or three sentences? Can you ask for it to the other partner? If you don't know how to ask for it, you don't know how it would look like when you receive it, then how is anyone else going to know it? No one's going to know how to receive it. No one's going to know what it is, because you don't know what it is. But now I get angry. I'm doing all this work and everything should change. You know, I'm starting to get entitled. I'm working hard. I should get the result. And, you know, you will get results when you work hard. But if you don't get the results, maybe it is because you need to work through this emotion that's underlying, right? It's coming up. That's why you're not getting the success. That's why you're not having this breakthrough. That's why your emotion is not flourishing. You're not losing weight or doing these things, because there's something you haven't worked through. And that can be a belief about yourself, an old emotion, like Mark said, a reactivity, something you're telling yourself so many times that you don't even know you have done it, right? It's just looping in your head, one step forward, five steps backwards. So I think a lot of it really comes down to awareness. You have to be aware what it is. You have to be able, well, choose to be able to communicate it to another person and also be able to receive it. And it takes time, and give the other person time to do so, because they might not understand it. It might be foreign, it might be strange. Give the other person time and space to adjust to the changes, and ultimately don't go around wanting to change other people, right? I mean, that's a big issue too. If you won't walk around and want to change other people so that you feel good, turn the finger and look like where is the work really to be done, right? It's not out there, it's here.
No, if you want other people to change, that's just trying to control the reaction, so the reaction doesn't occur in the first place, but the reactivity is still inside of us. And that is also something that is costing the body a lot of energy and is consuming our life force. So even though we don't get triggered, like if we would sit we just hide from all the people all the time because we don't want to get reactive, we still have that, the thing inside. So, I mean, it's of course one step better, but the only way to work through this is to take responsibility for ourselves. And then, I mean, I would recommend the person to do deep inner work for themselves. Like, why am I in this situation in the first place? And take responsibility for, I'm the only one who can change this. So I'm going to start doing my work and start. It's like all the things is like a big ball of yarn. You know, it's really entangled and it's messy and it's this trauma and it's this reactivity, is this nervous system here and there and whatnot, you know, self-love, self-respect, self-awareness. You know, it's like intertwined, and start to pull these apart and start to understand like, okay, this is what's going on with me. And then figure out like, what is it that I want in my life and what is it that I want to do? And yeah. From that space, a lot of clarity will come. What would you say, Mark?
Well, first, I might suggest that these people would attend our upcoming Sacred Union course, which we'll be sharing more about in the upcoming weeks. But you know, if we're talking about a healthy relationship where the masculine is fully in their masculine and the feminine is fully in their feminine. In that situation, I do think that it is the responsibility of the masculine to hold space so that if reactivity happens, that there is a safe container for that reactivity to happen inside of. Because the masculine knows that the feminine isn't actually attacking. The feminine is just, you know, having a reaction to some external stimuli. Which is why the feminine is associated with the moon. The moon is constantly shifting and changing different perspectives throughout the month. Some days there is no reactivity, some days there's minimal activity. And so the masculine can just hold space for that and be sturdy and strong in that protective container, so that eventually what will happen is that the feminine will feel so comfortable and safe in that container that the reactivity will go drop down to zero to little.
Yeah, this is what's going on, the dynamic between people in a relationship. That's a beautiful way of describing it. And yes, we will, in February, we will have a 6-week online course for relationships, but it could be, it's for couples, but it's also for singles, but it could be colleagues. It could be anyone who has a relationship with anyone else. Basically,
everyone.
So it's for everyone, where we will go through these pillars of balancing the feminine and the masculine, how exactly what Mark was sharing right now, and we will go into the depth of that. We will also talk about true communication. We will also do somatic work, and we will start to entangle? What's the opposite of entangle in English?
Disentangle, untangle.
Disentangle. To disentangle this ball of yarn with the reactiveness that can come in a relationship. And we will also do live coaching and tons of other things. It will be very, very fun, I would say. It will be rewarding for the people who joins. So we will start communicating more about this in the upcoming week, as Mark said. But if you would like to have support with this right now, we are now opening up 3 new spots in our online mentorship program, the Holistic Lifestyle Redesign program. That is a very, it's a profound experience. It's a 6-month experience where you work from your own home. You can do it as a single, but we also work with couples where we do all of it at once. We work somatically where we change the chemistry in the body so that the change can actually happen, so that the energy that is stored in our bodies can start to leave the body and give space and room for something new. And then you have individual coaching with individual programs for exactly what you need. It's like 100% tailor-made, and you will integrate it into your life as it happens. So it's a very, very powerful program. The people who are in it right now are having fantastic experiences. You can read about or listen to their testimonials on our websites. They are coming up one by one as they graduate now. And anything you would like to share about this program, Simba or Mark?
I just love how you say graduate, because, you know, that's really, it's a funny way. It's a funny way of looking at it, but it's also quite accurate, right? Like you really immerse yourself into a practice and learn how to do it on your own. And the 6-month container really gives time to get support, have a little bit of downtime. Like each month we have a little bit of downtime from sessions so people can really go in and feel what's going on within their own lives when they're not in this container. And then, you know, so we have many cycles, you could say, like Mark was saying, moon cycles. There's many cycles within this container which allows you to see your patterns many, many times over, and eventually something will start to shift, and by then they graduate.
I really like how the program is designed to work with the individual at their home, because like if you come to the retreat and experience all of these things in this outside situation, it's hard to understand how you would react when you're back home. So over 6 months, you really get the opportunity to go through several cycles of working on your self-healing. You know, the support that goes along with that is just really immeasurable.
Yeah. A lot of people do it before they come to a retreat or after they leave from the retreat also. But also people who have no opportunity to come to the retreat, they work from home. So it's the same but different, as we say here in Thailand.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about the Holistic Lifestyle Redesign mentorship programs, we are opening up 3 new spots here in the upcoming weeks as people are graduating. And you can read more at livingwiththespirit.com. And you can always reach out and book a discovery call if you want to know more about, is this for you? This is a big decision. Is this... yeah, how is this going to work? I have this and this lifestyle. Would it be a good match? So we always offer a free consultation before you start working with us. So, yeah, thank you so much for today, guys.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
Yay.
Simba's saving his jokes.
Oh. Yeah.
I saw you considered it, but you... oh, something said...
I mean, I can't.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
It's up to you guys, right?
No, Mark? I'm good. I'm good.
All right. You've seen it once. Okay. Like, yes. Let's save some for later.
Bye-bye.
See y'all later.
See ya.